The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the Upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Here's what I want you to do. We're going to prepare to read God's Word together. We're going to jump right in. Exodus 19, verses 7 through 25. Exodus 19, verses 7 through 25. And to just kind of catch up real quick, if you're new with us, we're going through Exodus verse by verse. Got a lot to cover in a little bit of time today, and we're going to try to do that. But just to catch you up, here's where we are. God's people, the Israelites, have been led out of slavery in Egypt by the gracious and just and merciful hand of God. And they're back at the mountain in the wilderness where Yahweh first met with Moses in the burning bush to promise Moses, hey, I'm going to send you back to Egypt and you're going to rescue my people. I'm going to use you as my mouthpiece as I rescue my people, rather. And now the Lord is preparing to come near again. And here's something that I want us to keep hold of today. And I want us to keep hold of it today as we talk through this passage, and I want us to keep hold of it kind of tucked away in the back of our minds as we go through the rest of Exodus, which is full of lots of law, lots of tabernacle regulations, lots of regulations about who the priests are and what they're supposed to do and all that kind of stuff. I just want you to tuck this away. God is holy and all-powerful, and still desires to be near his people. God is holy and all-powerful and still desires to be near his people. So just keep that in mind as we read these verses today. Let's look at verse 7 and just roll through. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm coming to you in a thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever. When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot, whether man or beast, he shall not live. Beast or man, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountain and consecrate it. And the Lord said to him, go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. All right, just again, side note observation. Students in the room, you're not allowed to ever talk about being tired and wine. Moses was 80 years old, and he just keeps going up and down a mountain, All right, so just keep that in mind as we go through this. All right, so if you're anything like me, you hear these words, and there are a great many questions that pop into your mind. I'm a question asker, so maybe it's just me, but questions like, why is God showing up like this? In a storm cloud with trumpets, right? How is this different from the pillar of smoke and pillar of fire that the Lord had used to lead the people when they came out of Egypt? Why is this so serious and why is this so dangerous so that God told the people, hey, don't even touch the mountain? The consequences are real serious. If you touch this mountain where the Lord had descended, God's presence was there. There's a whole lot about this that feels strange. But as we ask those questions, try to figure out what's going on. I think we start to get our answers as we look at the first few verses we read, verses 7 through 9. There, we read that Moses came down. He got this message from the Lord when he went up in the mountain to speak with him. And he comes down and gives it to the people. While he's up on the mountain, the Lord reminds Moses in verses 1 through 6 here, hey, Moses, don't forget, this is what I've done. I've saved my people from Egypt. And now I'm coming and I want to make a covenant with Israel. We'll talk about that in just a second. But Moses comes down the mountain. He calls the leaders of the people together and he tells them, hey, this is what Yahweh just said. Now, for just a second, and maybe to recap a bit, when we read the word covenant here, maybe an easy way to think of that for us in our context is to think of marriage. This lifelong commitment between two parties. We know God's committed to Israel, right? We know that he's already brought them out of Egypt. We read in verse 4 earlier last week that he brought them out of Egypt to himself. And now the Lord is drawing Israel into a deeper understanding of what it means to belong to him, what it means to know him and live with him. There's a deeper commitment here, almost like the Lord's inviting Israel to move from engagement to marriage. God was always committed to his people, but now he's asking them to commit to him too. And so just like two people who are about to get married, and when they get married, move in together, that's what the Lord is preparing Israel for here as well. So Moses tells the people, this is what God is doing. And the leaders of the Israelites are like, hey, we're in. We're in. Whatever God says, we'll do. And so our octogenarian friend Moses like takes their response back up the mountain to the Lord. And then the Lord tells Moses, hey, in 3 days, I'm going to descend on the mountain in a cloud so that everyone can see and they'll hear. Do you notice that? When God descends on the mountain, it isn't so that he directly speaks to the people. He's speaking to Moses and he wants the people to overhear this conversation that he's having with Moses. So Moses, go consecrate the people. Set them apart from the normal everyday humdrum of life, walking and camping in the wilderness. Make them ready for me. So now keep this in mind. Everything that we read here that the Lord has the people do, all of these odd regulations are put in place. All of these things that seem so weird and so serious are done, hear me, so that God can be as close to his people as possible. He wants to be near them. It isn't so that he keeps them as far away as they can be. It's because he wants them as near as they can be. But God is holy. Like if you remember back when Moses met with the Lord on this mountain back in Exodus chapter 3, God shows up in a burning bush. And do you remember what the voice out of the burning bush says to Moses? Hey, Moses, take your sandals off because you're on holy ground. So God and everything he touches, including the mountain itself here, is holy. What does that mean? The best I can do in a little bit of time is just remind us of a few other places in Scripture where we read descriptions of God's holy presence. So think about how Isaiah responds when he is brought into the presence of the Lord. He says, "Woe is me, for I'm lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Or think of how the author of Hebrews describes the Lord in chapter 12. Says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with a reverence and awe." And then listen to this, "For our God is a consuming fire." So this is the God who's descending on the mountain, and yet at the heart of this command to Moses for the people is a desire that the Lord would be as near to his people as possible. Think of it this way. You ever been somewhere where there's this incredible like view? Like think the Grand Canyon. I've never been to the Grand Canyon, so I'm using my imagination a little bit. But maybe it's a mountaintop, maybe it's an overlook somewhere, but somewhere where there's this incredible view, and almost inevitably right in front of you, on the edge of whatever you're looking out over, what do they have? Fences, right? Guardrails. The purpose of those, it's not to prevent you from seeing this incredible thing. It's not to prevent you from experiencing something wonderful and breathtaking. It's to keep you safe. It's to keep you from harming yourself so that you can still get as good a look as possible at this vast, glorious expanse in front of you. That's what sits at the heart of these things that the Lord has the people do. The clothes washing doesn't magically make the people holy. Nor does Moses' command in verse 15 that the people not intimately come together. We don't know why exactly Moses offers that. Maybe he knows the regulations that are coming later. Maybe he just wants the people to be singularly focused on the fact that God's presence is coming, and he wants them to take it seriously. And it was serious. Can you imagine how this would have felt? These folks didn't have houses they could walk into, have shelters they could go in. We know what it's like. Jimmy described it not too long ago, talking about the Psalms, the storm imagery. Like, we know what it's like to be scared of a storm. Can you imagine how overwhelming this would have been for these folks? In the middle of the desert, nowhere to go, just rocks and stuff around you, and this holy glory cloud descends with trumpets playing from somewhere, and there's lightning, and the voice of God is thundering out. Oh my, this is something we're never going to forget. But it wasn't just a show. Because at the center of all this is what? Yahweh talking with Moses. And through Moses, speaking to the people. Exactly. It's as if in this one scene, we have the tension of God's relationship with his people put on stage before us. God is holy and we have no right to come near, and yet God wants us to be near. He wants us to be a particular kind of people. Last week, kingdom of priests, a holy nation. As we wrap up, I don't want us to run too far from Sinai. But I don't want us to miss the fact, we can't miss the fact that everything that we see here, that tension that we feel, everything that God desires for his people, Israel, in this moment, he has done for us in Christ. Like, this is a gospel story. Like, we can look back through the halls of what God has done throughout history and know Like, this is who God still is. He's holy and he's awesome. And yet, Jesus, as Kaylin read for us earlier, Jesus tells us that we get to call God Father, and not just get to call him Father, we get to make our home with him. I cannot fathom reading this passage and not stopping for a moment to acknowledge this God who descends on Sinai, who is holy and perfect, is the same God who looks at us and not sees all of the sinful baggage we got stuffed in our closets or in our past, but instead sees the perfect righteousness of his Son and tells us, you're welcome in my kingdom. And not just welcome in my kingdom, you're welcome in my family, and you got a seat at my table. So if we do nothing else with this passage as we go, would you take a moment and reread this week these words and recognize the beautiful truth that you have unfettered access in Christ to this God? How? Because God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And would you maybe take a moment and consider, if this is who our God is, maybe there's something to this notion of preparing myself for worship. Maybe I should take some time on a Saturday evening or wake up a little early on a Sunday morning and prepare for the gathering of God's people. Not because God's going to descend like he did at Mount Sinai necessarily, but because I'm expectant that when God's people gather together, he has something for me in this place. And I want to be ready.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.